today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Dare to be stupid?
Okay, you're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan on behalf of my co-host, Patrick Foster. Thank you for listening. Patrick is not joining us today for this conversation. I think this might be a little bit out of his element. So I have a heavy hitter here filling in for Patrick. Please welcome Tug Baker.
Hey, what's going on? Good to see you, Jim.
Hey, Tug. Great to see you. Tug's down there in South Carolina.
Yep.
And
still here.
I think... Well, listeners will know Tug from usually once a year we check in with you when you do your January like deep dive into different artists, which is always always enlightening, I think. And I don't know if you've picked out the artists for this upcoming January yet.
I have not. I'm kind of spinning my wheels a little this year. I haven't done anything for it yet. Just had a lot going on, but it's coming up. I'm sure I'll get some. I usually reach out on Facebook to see, like, you know, get some inspiration, have people, you know, kind of recommend some things to me, and I kind of go from there. But we'll see how it goes.
That's cool. And what listeners don't know probably is that Tug and I, from time to time, will message each other about kind of nerdy topics. And we spent a lot of time talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender. That was a big thing between you and me, and then The Legend of Korra from that. And I'm a big fan of both those shows, but Avatar in particular. So if you haven't seen those, go watch them. They're great. And but today's nerdy topic is going to be Weird Al.
Yeah.
Yes. And it just so happened, I watched this new movie that you can stream for free on the Roku channel, it's called. And by the way, you don't have to have a Roku device, I don't think. I do happen to have one, but I think it's available even if you don't. So
yeah, I think you can just go to their website and watch it. You can most smart TVs have some sort of app, I think.
That's right. That's
that
right.
You can download.
So you can find this. But there's a new movie called Weird, the Al Yankovic story. And it is not a documentary. It is a scripted, you know, feature film. With Daniel Radcliffe plays Weird Al. And we'll get into all this in a little bit. But I watched it when it first came out. I was kind of super excited about it. And I watched it when it first came out. And I've been trying to get other people to watch it without much success. So when I... and I'm really... And it really bumps me out. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But I don't know. It's apparently a hard sell. And then when I saw your Facebook post that you watched it and really liked it, I was like, okay, now I got somebody who can come on and talk about this movie, right? So thank you for that, Tug. So before we get into the movie itself, I guess let's talk a little bit just about Weird Al, okay?
Yeah, sure.
How big of a fan are you? Is this what led you to this movie?
So I'd say that I got into Weird Al. I definitely remember seeing his videos on VH1 when I go over to like my aunt's house. Watching VH1 and seeing like the older ones, you know, ones from that were more from when I was like probably too young to be watching, you know, music video TV. So seeing Bad and or Fat and Eat It and, you know, the Michael Jackson parodies, seeing all those. Then I think it was Bad Hair Day, which was the one with the Coolio Gangsta's Paradise, Amish Paradise parody that came out. That was when I was, I think, in middle school or high school. And so that was really big. I had that record and I enjoyed it greatly.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish thine, then tonight we're gonna party like it's 1699. We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise. A churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish
paradise. Shortly thereafter, right before I left high school, was when he did the the Star Wars, The Saga Begins song, which is another, you know, another big one. And then, yeah, so that to me, all that was kind of like the 80s. I don't know. The 80s on through that part were like peak, just tremendous stuff from him. And also, I've had a nice resurgence of Weird Al this year because I have a kid who's 7 who we went to Disney World this year. So we've had some long car rides this year. And thought it would be a fun time. He liked Weird Al. He's actually liked the song from the Transformers soundtrack, "Dare to Be Stupid," which is an original Weird Al song. Which is it's kind of a Devo pastiche, maybe Devo XTC pastiche, but it is very it's a great song. But he loves that song. And then Weird Al did this Captain Underpants. Have you heard of this? What kids are into, these Captain Underpants books. They're mostly potty humor and stuff like that. But of course, he's very into that. And Weird Al did the theme song for the movie that came out a few years ago. So he was very into that song. I was like, this is the time. I have the chance to introduce my kid to Weird Al, so I'm doing it now. And so that's been a lot of fun. I did learn things. If you're wanting to get your kids into Weird Al, I figured something out. I tried just playing like the original songs, you know, and then playing the parody and saying like, oh, like here's, you know, see how this is funny. But what I found out is like, you have to start with the music videos. You have to show them bad, you know, show them that music video, like Michael Jackson, and then show them Fat and sold, like just instant fan right at, you know, from that moment on. So he loves Weird Al now. He's not going to be watching this film for a little while, but someday.
Right. Well, that's a really good point because I'll just say I got into Weird Al. I'm a bit older than you are. So when I was in high school was when the Eat It video came out.
Sure.
And it was so brilliant. And I think you're right. There's something about the video that really adds it to it because in that case, the video is like, it's like a shot for shot video, right? Of it, you know, just with, you know, comedic, just with humor thrown into it. Right. It's
ding dong, man. Ding dong. Like that, like that whole section, like everything that he does, you know, the beginning of that, like all that. Oh, it's so brilliant. So good. Those videos are just golden.
It's brilliant. Right. So yes, there. And I think, you know, it's easy to sort of, if you're a music fan, to sort of dismiss Weird Al. But he's so much smarter and so much wittier than your average guy who, like, for some morning zoo radio station that does song parodies, right?
Right.
Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And I think you can, number one, it's very hard. You know, it's not like he's, like, sampling these artists. Like, he recreates the music, and to me, it sounds like it's sampled. It sounds like he's just, you know, just playing karaoke with it, and he's not. Like, he recreates, you know, down to having, like, you know, in Eat It, like the recreation of that, it's a Van Halen guitar solo, I think, originally in Beat It.
Right.
And his guitarist does a pretty darn good guitar solo in that, in Eat It. And also, if you just look at his like original songs, some of them are so clever and so funny. And, the Bob song, which is a Subterranean Homesick Blues kind of, you know, it's basically, I mean, which really that song is just, you know, that song is just a 12-bar blues kind of thing. But that song, when you watch the video, like every line is a palindrome, you know, it goes backwards and forwards. And it is, I mean, some of the things he came up with, I'm like, that's so smart. Like, I mean, how did he even do that? It's brilliant. Great.
Ah!
That is absolutely brilliant. And I got to tell you, Tug, I was not even aware of that song until after I watched this movie. And then I went and I watched some clips on YouTube of Weird Al doing interviews about the Weird movie.
Yeah.
And in one of them, that song Bob came up. I think Daniel Radcliffe cited it as one that he, you know, a Weird Al song that he really loved.
Yeah.
And then I went and I watched that video on YouTube. I had never seen it, and I was blown away at how incredibly smart that whole song was.
It's such a good song.
I can't imagine how he put that together. It's so brilliant. And then I'll say other things too. Like, I think you mentioned the Star Wars one. I mean, it's just like, it's set to American Pie, right? It's like there's not a word out of place in that. It's like so perfectly done a parody, right? It's amazing.
Now we finally got to Coruscant, the Jedi Council we knew would want to see how good the boy could be. So we took him there and we told the tale how his midichlorians were off the scale and he might fulfill that prophecy. Impressed, of course. Could he bring balance to the force? They interviewed the kid. Oh, training they forbid, because Yoda sensed in him much fear. And Qui-Gon said, now listen here, just stick it in your pointy ear. I still will teach this boy. He was singing, this here Anakin guy, maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a small fry, and he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Here's the thing that I didn't realize about that song until this movie came out, and I was kind of reading more about Weird Al, is the movie was not out when he wrote that.
Oh wow.
He got all that information from like online spoilers and on the internet, but had it ready so that the song was ready to drop like within a week of the movie coming out, which I mean that, like, he really nails like a lot of the, you know, plot points and everything. So I guess he found some good online spoilers, maybe had some help out from, you know, the nerd internet, I don't know, but I mean great, like, yeah, that's another one that I pretty early on introduce my kid to, because of course, you know, my kid likes Star Wars. So I was like, hey, listen to this. There's a song about Phantom Menace, and he likes that one a lot. Likes the Yoda song. I'd forgotten about Yoda, the Lola parody. That's a great one.
One last thing I'll say about Weird Al before we get into this movie is when I was in high school, I was a band geek, and I think his stuff does appeal to, you know, to people like that, right? The idea of messing with popular songs, you know, just it works for somebody who has, who, you know, who plays music, I think, to a large extent as well. And the one album that I bought, I think I've only in my life ever actually bought one of his albums, and it was the one, I think, with Eat It on it. It's called Weird Al in 3D. I'm looking it up right now. It came out in, here it is, Weird Al in 3D. Yes, it has Eat It. And it came out in 1984, okay? But there's the thing I really got a kick out of on that record, totally unexpected. You know, Weird Al started as an accordionist, right? And would incorporate that, especially in his early parodies, like Another One Rides the Bus, stuff like that. Like, you know, because it was kind
of... That's one of the great parts about it, is hearing these cool rock songs done in an accordion, which is the most uncool of instruments, right?
And early on, you know, when he really didn't have a budget to, you know, record these songs, that's how he would do them, right? Later on, you know, he had more money to work with. But anyway, my point is, on this In 3D album, there's a song there on there called Polkas on 45. And what it is him playing accordion and like really straight polka style, but it's a medley of like popular songs. It starts with a Devo song. It goes into like Smoke on the Water. It has like LA Woman in there. It's just brilliant. It's just amazing. And my band geek friends and I, we would listen to that song over and over again and just crack up.
I love that one too.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do now, Tug. For anyone, any listeners out there who have not seen this movie, Weird, I would encourage you stop this episode right now.
Yes.
Until you've had a chance to watch it, because now we're going to talk about the film, and it's impossible for us to talk about it without addressing spoilers, because those are some of the biggest jokes in the movie, and we have to talk about those. So, and we don't want to ruin it for you, because they're great. You know, they're great.
Yeah, bits of humor. To hear them would diminish your experience. What part of the I think part of the only annoying thing about this only coming out on Roku is like, this would have been a great film to see in an audience of people who had never seen it, because I have a feeling the laughs would be so big and so, you know, so many people would be kind of losing their minds. So yes, please watch it first and then come back and we'll talk about it.
There you go. That's what you should do. So, okay. So we'll give people a moment to leave the room.
How are you? An hour and a half later, folks. Welcome back.
That's right. All right. So, Tug, first impressions on Weird.
I loved it. It's definitely one of my favorite films of the year. I think you're now. Of course, we told people you can watch it, and I think that it's not even much of a spoiler to say like it is a parody of musical biopics,
right?
Because how could you make a Weird Al anything and it not be a parody? It's part of the, it's part of the, but it is done so well, and it's, it hits all the tropes from, many famous, musical biopics. And it's fun. And just when you think like, okay, I've got the joke, then it changes the joke. Like it flips the joke around several times over. And I loved it. It's great. Daniel Radcliffe's amazing. It's all good.
So assuming everyone listening now has seen the movie, you understand now that it is not a faithful depiction of Weird Al's story.
Right. Although there are elements of it that, right. like him and his friends recording My Bologna, in a bathroom, right. I believe is actually how that did happen a little bit. Now, I'm sure that the inspiration scene that happens right before that where he's inspired to write the song is probably a little different, because it's definitely played for comedic effect. And that's also done really well.
Right.
There's lines in it of that part. Like, I love that when he first starts to play that song and the one guy says like,
"Al, you've got something here. I don't know if it comes from God or the devil, but the world needs to hear it."
That's one of my favorite lines of the entire movie. It's just so over the top. But one of those things that you would see in a biopic, right? Like so much like, you're touched.
It's so great. And there's actually several kernels of truth throughout.
Yeah.
Makes it even smarter, I think, in my opinion, because they're just small little things. Like the idea that, the idea of Madonna encouraging Weird Al to make the parody of Like a Virgin, and that really happened. Right. Not necessarily the way it's depicted here, obviously. Right. Yeah. And they didn't really have this tawdry relationship, but apparently she was one of the few artists who suggested a song that he parody, and he did it right.
Which is, again, in this film taken to just ridiculous extremes, as she is the Yoko character, if you will, I don't want to pin that on, I don't think Yoko broke up the Beatles much.
I know what you mean, but in sort of popular
character, yeah. that popular idea of the woman, the harlot coming in and breaking up the band, she's kind of given that role, which I would love to hear the conversation that I'm sure Weird Al probably had with her, but like, hey, I'm making this movie, you know?
How great was Evan Rachel Wood in that role?
Oh, she was terrific. It's one of those roles where I was like, at the end of it, she wears sunglasses a lot, like Madonna. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, wait, that's Evan Rachel Wood. Like, I kind of lost her in it. You know, she really did a great Madonna, I thought.
Have you heard my new single, Like a Virgin?
Oh, I've heard it. And I'm curious, is that song autobiographical?
Yes. I technically am a virgin. Except for the fact that I've had a lot of sex. I mean, a lot.
I see.
Anyway, I was wondering if you were going to do a parody of my song.
Maybe.
I like that.
I guess let's talk about the cameo. Like, the cameos are pretty amazing throughout it. Some of the people that they get to portray these famous artists are all pretty incredible. You know, from just like ridiculous to like, oh, well, those guys are there. Like, those were all pretty good. I think Rainn Wilson as Dr. Demento was great. Jack Black as Wolfman. Wolfman Jack. I mean, he's terrific.
Well, 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 if it isn't Dr. Demento.
Wolfman Jack. Who let you in here?
The Wolfman goes where the Wolfman wants, baby. Ow, 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 ow.
Security!
Relax. I just came by to lay eyes on this cat you've been parading around. The one who takes pre-existing musical compositions and completely changes the lyrics.
He has a name, you know, and it's Weird Al Yankovic.
Well then, put her there, Weird Al. Ooh! Too slow.
What is the meaning of this?
This is me telling you that I know hit talent when I see it. And this kid ain't it. He'll never crack the top 40. He's too niche.
This kid, as you call him, is the future of music.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I think it was one bit of trepidation I had going into this movie was I was afraid it would be too much like Walk Hard, which Hard was just like the perfect send-up of
a very good and it really walks that line for a long time, of the original, but like it kind of is like we've kind of seen this in Walk Hard, and then later it does, like, you know, flip around and kind of become more than that.
Does become more than that, and that's what I like. And I think the other thing that separates a little bit, like I said, like the kernels of truth within it make it something, you know, interesting in a different way. And like, for instance, you know, it really was a door-to-door salesman who came around, and that's how, you know, Weird Al got an accordion, right? Like, stuff like that. There's stuff in there. And if you
that's one of my favorite scenes. Like, cause that's the first scene that I was just guffawing at, was his dad coming in and, Toby Huss, who's just great, and then Thomas Lennon playing the accordion salesman, and he's just beating the living crap out of Thomas Lennon, and it's all sold like really over the top, really ridiculous, and a little bit like very violent, like to the extreme, and it's but to me that was one of the first things that I was like, okay, this movie gets it, like having that little nug of truth, knowing like, okay, this is a thing.
Right, and that's exactly it, and so then you realize it's similar to Walk Hard, but it's on a little bit of a different, it's taking a little bit of a different tack, right? So I'm in on this now. And then you're mentioning about the celebrity cameos. What I'm getting to here is when it got to that scene, the whole idea of Dr. Demento's grotto and all these famous people who just supposedly like hang out there, like it's the Playboy Mansion, but for like weird comics, right?
Right. Except that, like, there's a mix of like people you'd expect, like Tiny Tim and Gallagher. You know, they're represented, but then there's also like Grace Jones and you know, all these other people. It's like, well, why would they be hanging out with Dr. Tim?
It's just like eccentric, like Elton John, right? Like Andy Warhol. You know.
Yeah.
But then there's like Gallagher. It and then Pee Wee Herman. When I got to that scene, I was so like, I am completely in this movie now. I it has completely won me over, because that scene I just thought was so brilliant and so unexpected, right? And then Jack Black,
because it really pulls more from like Boogie Nights. I think there's like a pool party scene like that in Boogie Nights. So right. not a scene probably that we've maybe seen in a music biopic, but certainly a type of scene that right. we are familiar with. You know, they're like, oh, the I mean, it's, I don't know. There was, gosh, what was the movie? Was it Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Wasn't there a pool scene with like the mamas and the papas and things like there? You know, there've been other movies that have these like famous, yes, Playboy Mansion-esque pool parties and things like that. So it's playing on something that we all know about.
It's just great. It was brilliant.
So I think there's two turns that it takes, because like you said, up until a certain point, it's like, okay, like we've seen all this in Walk Hard. Like, right. you know, this has all kind of been done. To me, the part where it really like kind of goes beyond that is when he has the LSD scene and then, you know, wakes up with the guitar riff for Eat It. And then goes in the record executives, and, you know, says play it. And the part with, Will Forte, where he's like,
so you're saying this is not a parody of an existing song, but an entirely original composition that you wrote all by yourself?
Yes.
Not based on anybody else's song in any way.
Did I stutter?
That to me is where the movie really changes, because then it just becomes, it's definitely not the story of Weird Al anymore, even in a parody style. It's now it's like taking on this other thing. When the scene where he gets mad because he finds out that Michael Jackson, this has been who used to be in the Jackson 5, the kid from the Jackson 5, that he's gone and recorded a song called Beat It. That I love that Weird Al playing the record executive is like, I don't know, it's about fighting or not fighting or being in a gang. Like, I don't know what it's about. that to me is like the first time that the movie becomes a different thing. Like it's taking it further than just a musical biopic parody. And then the second time is once Madonna gets kidnapped by Pablo Escobar, because to me then it almost becomes, have you ever seen Black Dynamite?
No.
It's a great send up of like blaxploitation films.
Okay.
Starring Michael J. White. It's from years and years ago, but it's another one where the movie just keeps getting more and more ludicrous until at the end, like, you know, it involves all sorts of crazy stuff. But yeah, so like it's a huge jumping of the shark to go from like, yes, now he's a, you know, international assassin character. Right. To me, like that's what made it like better than, yes. you know, more than Walk Hard did.
Yes, the movie just keeps going in unexpected directions, and so you have to admire it for that. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a good Weird Al parody song, right. or even one of his like original songs. Like, it takes a little kernel of an idea, and it's like, we're going to keep at this idea until it's very funny, and then we'll do one thing that's even funnier than what you thought it could be. You thought you were, that's how he works.
Okay, so one last thing I want to mention, though. What about Daniel Radcliffe, right?
He's so good. I mean, I have always thought, you know, like people may say like, oh, he's kind of bad in those early Harry Potter films. Like, yeah, he's like, you know, 10 or whatever. Right, he's so young. But I've been a big fan. He has a show called Miracle Workers. The idea behind it, it's like a, you know, kind of an ensemble cast, and it changes the premise of the show every season. I think it's like 3 or 4 seasons. And it's definitely a comedy show and is kind of in a parody. Like, one is a Western parody, one is a, you know, one's about like angels in heaven, like, you know, he kind of plays like one of these angels in heaven, and Steve Buscemi plays God, and but he is a brilliant comedic actor. He is so funny, and so yeah, to really see him like just lean into this and get to use like kind of, because he's also, you know, he's being dramatic, he's playing it so serious that it's then ridiculous. That part's great. Like, I love that, and I think he did perfect in it. He was terrific.
The way he threw himself into this, it just so impressive, right? Like, he goes all out in this movie.
Right. But still, like, and yeah, he goes all out and does that, like, again, like, so serious that it's funny, but then also has really good timing on a lot of things. Like, you know, the scene where he blows up at the band, you know, he's drunk with Madonna, and you know, blows up at the band, and the, you know, they're having this huge fight. He's just so over the top, so ridiculous, so, you know, I'm the weird one. He does really good in that.
You guys are nothing without me. Yeah,
I could replace you with a drum machine. And you with a guitar machine. And you with a... I don't know, with some other machine. You're all just a bunch of normals. Okay, I'm the weird one. I am the weird one!
And then, like, they walk... The band goes to walk away, and you know, Madonna says they seem nice. And he's like, just great guys. Just like his little, like, he's, yeah, they're great. Like, his little, like, you know, very tiny, small delivery, but just made me, you know, like, hold my sides laughing. He's so good.
Yes. All right. So, people, well, at this point, if you're listening to this, you've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully,
but
you've seen it.
Your
if not,
you
like,
see it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell other people, don't tell them too much. But yeah, tell them to watch it because it's very good.
It really was. And as I mentioned, I'm having trouble getting people to watch it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Roku channel thing or if it's just the, like, oh, that looks stupid. You know, I don't know what the issue is, but
it's, I haven't been to a ton of movies this year, but you know, comedy movies are kind of hit or miss for me a lot lately. And this is one of those that I think just about anybody can watch and get it and laugh and have a good time.
Totally. And is it stupid? Yes, but that's the point. It's what I would call smart stupid, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's so stupid that it just keeps getting stupider, comes back around to like, oh, all right, this is smart.
It's yes, this is brilliant, right? Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Tug.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for hanging out. And I would encourage people, if you've seen this movie or you just want to talk about Weird Al in general, you can call, leave a message, 612-440-1984. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or hit us up on the social medias. We're at suburbspod. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm Jim Lenihan, and we'll talk to you later.
See ya. See you next year.
Yo, ding dong, man. Ding dong. Ding dong, yo.